Ask the Expert on The Pat Kenny Show.
With Hidden Hearing. Your hearing is our expertise. Visit hiddenhearing.ie.
So are your kids little balls of sweat? Are they staying awake till 1 o'clock in the morning because it's daylight till pretty much midnight? If you're having trouble getting your kids to sleep, we have advice for you. Sleep issues affecting 70% of parents at some stage in their parenting time. Lucy Wolfe, sleep expert and founder of Sleep Matters, is with us. And obviously 53106 or 087-1400-106 if you have questions for Lucy. Is this the hardest time of year to get kids to sleep? Little kids particularly listen to people playing football outside and you're telling them, even though it's daylight, go to bed.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a combination of being less structured because it's the summer months. We've had a lot of humidity and heat and it's light and bright, and heat and sleep don't go very well together, and neither do light and sleep, unfortunately.
And presumably the heat is particularly significant for very small kids, little infants and babies. It has to be pretty miserable in the heat for them.
Yeah, and you see, the body temperature needs to drop for sleep to come with greater ease. And obviously, at the moment, that's hard to establish. The environment is warm, the body temperature is heightened. And then, of course, sleep is challenging anyway. Like young children, if they become overtired, tend to have a fight or flight fight response to becoming overtired, which leads to that resistance that many of us experience. And like, I see parents in my practice, it might take them 1 to 3+ hours to get their children to go to sleep.
So running the legs off them is not necessarily a good idea.
No, like, I suppose we are always looking at the whole picture. So getting enough outside exercise and fresh air absolutely is part of providing the right context. But on its own, it isn't. Like, sleep relies on a number of impulses to kind of congregate together at like ideal timing so that getting to sleep is easier. And, you know, like, I'd put a lot of emphasis on firstly the environment itself, and then, you know, looking for a darker, dimmer, cooler environment in the bedroom itself. I'll also put a lot of emphasis on the timing for sleep because of this response to becoming overtired, but also putting in place, you know, a really relationship focused bedtime routine. And like, not all bedtime routines are equal. So for example, lots of parents are spending time, you know, reading stories, but they might be doing it in a living space and then migrating up into the bedroom areas. Whereas actually, I love the idea of the bedtime routine to be much more logical and linear, like centralized to the bedroom itself, so that it's a flow towards sleep.
And so give us the archetypical perfect bedtime routine.
Well, without putting anyone under great pressure, like, I do feel it needs to happen in the bedroom that the child is going to sleep in. And I think that the ideal length is about 20 minutes, give or take. And I normally don't include the bath as being the wind down piece. So lots of parents absolutely do integrate a bath into a bedtime process. It's not a prerequisite. I actually put much more focus on the, you know, the dim lighting in the bedroom itself, and then the connection aspect. So the emotional availability part of the bedtime routine. So like, if we're looking at what are strong predictors for children to get enough sleep, you know, consistent, well-timed bedtimes alongside the bedtime routine, and then, you know, stimulating and working towards a more independent style of sleeping.
A couple of interesting challenges. Please ask Lucy how to manage my 5-year-old at night. He has a very restless period every night, all year round, for about an hour. Would it be eating too much before bed? He doesn't wake up, but tosses and turns for that hour. Not the same hour every night either.
Yeah, so restless sleep. You know, when we do rule out food sensitivities, intolerances, you know, the environmental piece, too hot, too cold, then I would always look to, you know, possibly an overtired theme within the body. So often parents, you know, overemphasize the overtired piece, possibly because of people like me talking about it. But again, if we think about a child who's not having a restful sleep, we might look at the brain not being in a deep section of sleep or staying in a heightened state of arousal. So, and as a result of that, maybe not having good rest and restoration. So one of the first things I might do is bring that child's bedtime earlier. So it's often a little bit of an exploration. So if at the moment that child is falling asleep at 8 or 9 p.m., like it might be worth starting things, you know, half an hour earlier. And if the child themselves goes to sleep sooner, that might indicate an earlier bedtime, might help them go into that deeper section of sleep.
Is there a rule of thumb for amount of sleep required by age of child?
There is. In terms of, there are recommendations from, let's say, the American Association of Pediatrics. So, for example, in this age group, we might be looking at 10 to 13 hours for the five-year-olds at this, the preschool and school going.
13?
Yeah, up to that age, right? Wow. Up to that amount. But the thing is, I, as a practitioner, I don't really lean too heavily on amounts. Now, we obviously appreciate that they are assigned to, you know, generalization and health and development. But sometimes when we rely on those, you know, quotas for sleep, we're not really taking account of the individuality of each person. And that often leads parents of young children, you know, seeking to get this magical amount of sleep that maybe that child just... And so what I'm really interested in is like the child's personal best, so that we're really trying to provide the right context so that they can get what they need, consolidated, uninterrupted, enough sleep, and that their mood and behaviour indicates that they are getting enough sleep.
On the topic of individuality, a text saying, how do you manage two in the same room where one will sleep but the other wakes the young one up?
Oh, and you see, sometimes, and it all depends on, you know, environment, like we've mentioned. Sometimes, though, if we have a child who's struggling with their sleep, it's worth removing the good sleeper temporarily and doing a little bit of sleep work on the child who's currently struggling. Sleep work involves a number of adjustments and changes, you know, stimulating, you know, the right time for sleep, the processes involved in that. And to allow that to emerge, it happens over about 3 or 4 weeks for a lot of children. And it's hard to do that with another child in the bedroom, because often you panic, you hook that child out. And as a result, you know, sleep is quite association oriented. So if you, your baby or your child wakes up and they come out of the bedroom into your bed because you're trying to preserve the sleep for another, you're almost promoting that wake signal. So again, countering that. So maybe removing the better sleeper for a while, taking them on holidays into your bedroom, you know, on a, you know, a camp bed style, and then addressing the issue so that you're really assigning sleep to the bedroom you want your child to sleep in. Their understanding is deeply they understand that. That's one way of managing it.
Do you ever get kids that have a predetermined wake up time no matter what? Because I speak to a number of parents who say, no matter what we do, 5 o'clock in the morning, light switch, awake.
The wake time is biologically driven. So I always say to parents, like, that's been decided before we've ever met. Does that make any sense? Before you ever met your child. Your task is to try and promote and support the wake time so it can be as good as it can be. So very often we see serial 5 o'clock wakers. And yes, absolutely, there is a cohort of children who are early wakers by their very genetic predisposition. But a lot of the time, early waking is actually stimulated by a few other things. And strangely, going to bed too late is one of those reasons. And that is so counterintuitive, isn't it? Because you often think that, you know, to get a later wake time, we'll go to bed later. But actually, as a practitioner, to get a later wake time, the first thing we might do is bring the bedtime earlier. And that comes back and circles back into, you know, the response, the stress response that happens when a child's body becomes overtired. And then we have this naturally occurring cortisol early in the morning. So they kind of get together and act as like a double cappuccino, basically. So earlier bedtimes help with the earlier wake time.
Lucy, thank you so much. Lucy Wolf, sleep expert and founder of Sleep Matters. That-